All right, Shabbos, good morning. Let's begin. All right, so today, Baruch Hashem Shechiyanu V'kimanu V'giyanu Zachinu. We are privileged that we're going to start Maseches Nedarim. And I will say, just by way of introduction, obviously, as you can imagine, so Maseches Nedarim is about Nedarim. Right? It's about vows. Now, just to make sense. So, it's interesting to note, the Torah, when it talks about vows, when it talks about Nedarim, or for that matter, Shavuos, so the Torah often uses the Lashon of Yafli. Ish kiyafli lindar neder. That's by Nazir's Lazir Lashem. When a person, now we normally say kiyafli. Now, what does kiyafli mean? So that we normally translate it is articulate. Articulate or enunciate. And we'll see, that's one of the halachos of Nedarim, that a person has to go ahead and actively articulate. Meaning, if you think a neder, that is not enough. A person has to go ahead and actively go ahead and articulate it. Now, it's interesting. So the Svasema says, but why use that Lashon of Yafli? Because we know, again, the Shorish of Yafli, Pe Lamed Aleph, Pela, also means what? Wonder or something, amazement. So the Svasema says, he says so beautifully, he says that the Lashon of Pela is like this. Because what does a neder do? A neder transforms reality with simple words, right? Life was one way before I made the neder. And I make it, so for example, a person makes a neder to become a nazir. Again, we'll focus on naziras and maseches nazir, but the idea is a person makes a neder to go ahead and become a nazir. So one moment, I was an ordinary guy. The next moment, suddenly I'm a nazir. Or a person goes ahead and takes an animal, and they say, Hare zu karban, right? Suddenly, Hare zu ola. So a person goes ahead and makes these statements that suddenly, again, this animal is of a sacrificial nature. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is that suddenly, again, within a moment, that animal becomes sanctified. So we'll say, if you think about it, that in and of itself is the greatest pella. That is the greatest wonderment. That speech can be so powerful that speech could literally transform reality. So we often think, you know, people say, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me. So the truth is, it's not true. Words not only harm, but words also have incredible positive impact. The word could literally change a reality. That's the pella. That's the incredible amazement or wonderment. So with that, let's begin Maseches Nedarim. So says the Mishnah. Now I'll say, now one other word about Nedarim, which is going to be a little bit different than the Maseches we've seen before. If you'll notice again, on your page, you'll see two commentaries. But whereas you normally see Rashi on one side, Tosfos on the other, in the Nedarim you see Rashi on one side and the Ran in the other. Now, throughout Maseches Nedarim, the Ran is really the dominant commentary. So we're going to be doing a little bit of a mixture of both. So actually what I'm going to try to do in the future, for future Shurim, is give you a copy, I'll make you a copy of my Ran, because I'm going to be underlining things and highlighting things, because we're not going to be doing the Ran Kiseder. So today, I apologize, for today I didn't do that, but Emir Tashem for tomorrow, I will do that. So, but we're going to be jumping back and forth between Rashi and the Ran. So says the Mishnah, Kol Kinuye Nedarim Kinedarim. I both say, all Kinuye, now remember again, Kinuyim literally means, we normally translate that as nicknames. So we'll translate what all of these terms mean in just a little bit, but Kol Kinuye Nedarim Kinedarim. All kinuye nedarim are like nedarim themselves. Now, before we go on, another word of introduction from the Ran. So take a look on the right, on the left-hand side of your page. So you'll see it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines down in the Ran, on the left-hand side. So let's just take a look at a few lines together. He says, Nidre, v'nidre iser, heim ba'echa m'shlosha drachim. Says the Ran that nedarim, come in one of three ways. Ikar ha-neder, there is a primary neder. Kinuyav, which literally means, like we'll see, like the nickname of a neder, so to speak. V'yados. L'yados literally means handles. Branches. So what does these, I'm sorry?
Branches.
Oh, we'll see. Yad akli is really the handle of a kli. We'll see why it's called that in just a little bit. So ikar ha-neder, so says the Ran, what is an ikar ha-neder? Just what is a regular neder? Hu sheyomar davar ze asralai. Now, also remember, the nedarim that we're referring to over here, when we think about a neder, so we often think about a positive thing, right? Again, I make a neder to do A. I make a neder to finish Maseches Nedarim, right? To do Daf Yomi. So we're not talking about those kind of nedarim. We're actually talking about over here what we call nidre iser, prohibitive nedarim. So ikar neder hu sheyomar davar ze asur alai. So the type of neder we're talking about right now is a person says, this item, this thing is asur to me. ubein shetfisu b'davar acher bein shelo etfisu zeu neder amar b'tar. Now I will say, now there are two ways that you can make a neder, a prohibitive neder. You can go in and you can say, davar zu asur alai ke karban. I could say this thing, this cup of coffee is asur to me like a karban, like a sacrifice. And just like a karban is asur, so too the cup of coffee will become asur. That's what's called hatfasa. Hatfasa means you're attaching the neder to something that is prohibited. So that's one way to make a neder. But on the other hand, you could also make a neder without hatfasa, without explicitly linking it to the karban. Says what he says, Bein shelo etfisu zeu neder amar b'Torah. This is the paradigmatic neder. So when the Torah talks about a neder, that's the way a neder looks. You're going out and you're saying, Hare, right, davar zu alai ke karban. Ella dehecha shetfisu. I'm just reading two more lines. Betfisa be'inyan bedavar neder. So skip a little bit to the second wide line. Hilchach, to the end of the second wide line. Hilchach, hecha shehetfis v'amar hare kikar ze alai ke karban. If a person says, this loaf should be to me like a karban, chayil nidarel, the neder is chal. The ikar neder huzeh. So we'll say, so the ikar, the paradigmatic neder, and now again, in the third wide line in the Ran. So I will say, today we have the luxury of just doing a little bit more Ran, because the daf, as you can see, is short. So we have a little bit of luxury of doing this. So I don't want anybody, people getting nervous, I'm going to give you homework. I'm not giving you homework, I promise. So the idea over here is the paradigmatic neder is a person says, this item is to me like a karban. That's paradigmatic neder. So I'm prohibiting this item to me, just like a karban is off limits to me, so too this item is off limits to me. And that's the ikar neder. Vikinuyav, what's a kinui? Hu shebemakom karban yomar konam, konam, konach, kones, v'chosha amar kein, harehu aser ki ilu amar karban alai kikaze. V'hainu dislan kol kinui nedar. I'm supposed to say, just like a kinui is a nickname. So a kinui by nedarim is also a nickname for another. So for example, if a person says, konam alai kikazu. So I will say, konam, we will see, is a lashon ultimately, again, as a nickname for a neder. A nickname. So this is, remember, so paradigmatic neder is you're saying explicitly, kikar zu alai ke karban, right? This kikar is like a karban for me. So a kinui is like a nickname for a neder. And again, a person says konam. So we'll see exactly what the etymology of konam is. But the idea in a kinui is a person is not explicitly saying this is like a karban. They're just simply saying konam. It's konam. And we'll see that's a lashon also of karban. Skip down a little bit, Rabosai 2. The last three lines in this section of the Ran, you see where it starts, v'charamim kecharamim. So right before that, there's two lines there, v'yados nedarim. People say, what are yados? Yados of nedarim. Hu shemaschil b'miktsas diburo shel neder. It's where you begin to articulate what sounds like a neder. Ela she'ino gomer oso, but you don't finish the sentence. V'oso miktsas hadibor, havi ki'ilu noder kol hashlemos hadibor. And again, by saying this truncated or shortened form of speech, it's as if you've said the entire neder. Ki adam ha'oches kli bebeis yad shalo. We'll say, just like, what's the handle? So the handle is a part of the kli, but it's not the ikar part of the kli. So to yados refers to where you articulate a partial neder or a partial speech of a neder, but it makes it as if you've said the entire neder. Umitaltel, umitaltel kulo, mishumhaki chayot nidra. Then one last piece, v'charamim kecharamim kilomar. Actually, we'll get to that in just a second. So we'll say, so this is very important. So what the Ran, and you'll notice, by the way, I'm sure you can pick up on this, you're seeing already that although the Ran is much more wordy than Rashi, the Ran on Maseches Dharma is really great because the Ran really explains everything. See, here the Ran just gave us a very important introduction to Maseches Nedarim. So here again, remember, so the Ran telling us a neder, paradigmatic neder, is a person says, kikar zu alai ki karban. This loaf of bread, or I'm using loaf of bread by way of example, is to me like a karban. So that's a full speech, a full person fully articulates what it is that they are prohibiting. Next, a kinui, which is like a nickname of a neder, konam. Person doesn't say, harei zu alai ki karban, but rather a person just says one word, konam. And we'll see, konam also means prohibited to me like a karban. That's a kinui. And a yad is where a person makes a truncated, shortened statement, but that shortened statement nevertheless has the same status as an actual neder. Fine. Now back to the Mishnah. So says the Mishnah, kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim, a kinui of a neder. Remember, it's like we said before, that's like konam, so a nickname, a shortened form. So a kinui of a neder has the status of a neder. V'charamim, kicharamim, so tugin abosai, a cherem, has the status, or I should say a shortened form of a cherem, has the status of a cherem. Now, what's a charamim? If you look in the Ran again, charamim kicharamim, kilomar sha'omer, nechasim elu alav, cherek, cherech, cheref, hare il elu ki ilu amar nechasim elu alav cherem. So we'll see another lashon, and we'll explore again the etymological roots of all of these statements. But what you could say is that this field is like a cherem. This field is cherem to me. So we'll see again that when we think of cherem, so we think of excommunication, but we'll see also that cherem is also a lashon of hekdish, is also a lashon of consecration. So the Mishnah is saying, just like a kinui neder is like a neder, so too again, a kinui cherem is like a cherem. So remember again, kinui, I have to think of a better succinct English translation for it, but the idea of the kinui is the nickname. So you're not saying explicitly that the item's like a carbon, rather you're using just the lashon of cherem. So too again, so kinui neder is like a neder, and therefore again, a kinui cherem is like a cherem. Ushvuas kishvuas. And about say so too again. So again, if you make a kinui shvua, now we'll discuss a distinction between all of these things, but a kinui, right, so like a nickname of a shvua, is also considered to be a shvua. Unezirus kinezirus. And about say a kinui neder nezirus, is just like a full-fledged nezirus. Therefore, ha'omer lechavero, mudrani mimcha, mifrushani mimcha, mirchukani mimcha. Well, say if a person says to his friend, "Mudrani mimcha," I'm going ahead and I am literally what it means is I am abstaining. I'm making a neder from getting any benefits from you, or mufrashani mimcha, I am separated from you, or merichukani mimcha, or I am distanced from you. Now, Rabbi, say take a look at the Ran here for just a moment. So the Ran says over here, "Omer lechaveru mudrani mimcha, mefarish b'gemara dahainu yados." The Rabbi says, we're going to see, these are examples of yados. Why are these examples of yados? Because what is a person saying over here? A person is making an incomplete statement. Person says, mudrani mimcha. Literally, I am nethered from you. So what does that mean? So that's like the handle of the utensil, right? So I'm making a partial statement. Now, what we're going to interpret that means is, I am making a nether not to get any benefit from you. But that is a partial statement. Mufrashani mimcha. I'm separated from you. I'm separated from you. So So the Ran says, Mefarish b'gemara dahainu yados. So again, mufrashani mimcha. I'm separated from you. Michurkani mimcha. I'm distanced from you. So mostly these are all incomplete statements. These are examples of yados. Sha'ani ochalacha, that I will, literally will translate it, that I will not eat from you. Sha'ani toimlacha, I will not taste anything from you. Aser. All of these cases, Rabbosai, create an iser. Create, again, essentially what we're saying over here is, these are all situations where lemaisa, again, these are yados as we're going to see, and therefore by definition, they create bona fide iser. Okay. Menuda ani lacha. What about Allah say if a person makes a statement of menuda ani lacha? Literally, again, I am literally translated as we're going to see, as I'm excommunicated from you. And I will say, now again, look at Rashi here for just a moment. Menuda ani lacha, kimo shimhaya bidnidui. So I'll say, I say to Ruvain, I am like menuda from you. I am like excommunicated from you. So what does that mean? So Rashi says over here, kimo shimhaya bidnidui da asulay li savalitim bahadei. I will see when a person is excommunicated. So what's the halacha? So if a person is in nidui, a person is excommunicated, you're not allowed to talk to such a person, you're not allowed to do business with such a person. So I say to Ruvain, I am excommunicated from you. So what does that do? So that goes ahead and essentially places me, that's another way of saying, I can't get any hanor, any benefits from you. So we'll say, so what's the status of such a statement? Rabbi Akiva hayachochich bazel hachmir. So Rabbi Akiva again wasn't exactly sure what to do with this particular statement, but at the end of the day, he decided to go and be machmir and to say that such a statement like that, in fact, does create what we'll call a chalos shem iser, does create again a prohibition that would prohibit the person who made the statement from getting benefit from the other. Fine, says the Gemara Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim. Now remember again, the Mishnah said that all kinuyei nedarim are just like nedarim. So we'll say, remember again, our kinuy, what's our kinuy? Our kinuy is that a nickname, right? I make a neder using a word that essentially does not have, I should say, making a statement that does not contain the word neder, right? But again, instead uses another word that's like a nickname for a neder. So remember, the paradigmatic example of that is konam, right? Konam, that's, now again, we'll see this more closely, but that's, remember, that was Ron's example, konam. So kol kinedarim kinedarim, so every nickname, every kinedar is like a neder. So maishna, so we'll say, listen to this. Now remember, what this Mishnah did was something very interesting. So the Mishnah began by talking about nedarim, but once you started speaking about nedarim, it also says, just like every kinui neder is like a neder, so too he said, every kinui cherim is like a cherim, every kinui shvua is like a shvua, every kinui nezirus is like nezirus. Right? So meaning once you start with nedarim, we add in the whole list. The Gemara asks, Maishna gabi nazir delo katani lo lekulu, u'maishna gabi nedarim diktani lekulu. Plus it asks the Gemara like this, in Meseches Nazir, there is a very similar opening Mishnah, and the opening Mishnah is Kol Kinuye Nezirus, Kinezirus, that any nickname Neder Nezirus is like making a bona fide Neder Nezirus. But yet, by Nazir, it doesn't go through the whole list, right? It doesn't say, just like we said, every kinui nezirus is like nezirus, so too, and therefore every kinui shvua is like shvua, every kinui neder is like neder, every kinui cherem is like cherem. It doesn't do that. And yet over here by nedarim, once we say that every kinui neder is like a neder, we go through the whole list, and we say every kinui nezirus is like nezirus, charamim, charamim, shvua, shvua. So why here does it go through the whole list of all the different types of vows? And yet, again, by Nazir, it doesn't do that. To which the Gemara says, Mishum, the neder u'shvua k'sivei gabi hadadi. Because Abosai, remember again, neder and shvua are mentioned together. Now take a look at the Ran. So the Ran over here is on the right side. So the Ran writes, neder u'shvua k'sivei gabi hadadi, k'siv, ki yidar neder la'ashem, ohi shava shvua. So the Torah speaks about neder and shvua in the same pasuk. Therefore, the Gemara saying is like this. Once we're discussing neder, by definition, what are we going to discuss? We're going to discuss shvua. Because since they're mentioned in the same pasuk, whenever you mention one, by definition, you have to mention the other. V'chevan detani tarti tani lekulhu. And then what? And then the assumption is about this. So once you're already mentioning two, then what? You might as well go ahead and mention the rest as well. So I will say, remember, but again, that logic does not apply by Nezirus, because since Nezirus in the Torah is a standalone discussion, therefore, Lamaise, again, you can mention Nezirus and not what? And not what? Not have to bring up the entire other discussion. So the Gemara says, V'lesne kinui shvuos, baser nedarim. So why don't you go ahead and bring up the kinui shvuos after nedarim? Now, what does this mean? So look at Rashi just a moment. V'lisni shvuos baser nedarim, k'dichse v'hadu l'sni l'kulu. So we'll say, so listen to this for just a moment. So remember, look at the way the Mishnah read over here. So the Mishnah said, kol kinui nedarim k'nedarim, charamim k'charamim, shvuos k'shvuos. So remember, we have neder, cherem, shvua. So asks the Gemara this. Remember, the Gemara just asked the question, why don't you just talk about nedarim? Why do you have to get into shvuas over here and everything else? To which the Gemara answers, because neder and shvua are written together. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, I don't say, but listen, kinui shvuos baser nedarim. So the order of the Mishnah should be what? The order of the Mishnah should be, kol kinuye nedarim kinedarim, and then what should be next? Shavuos. Right? Because remember, if you just told me that neder and shvua are written together in the Torah, why not put shvua after neder? To which the Gemara says, Aidi, listen to this, I will say, this is very, very important, because this lays the groundwork for the rest of the Masechta. Aidi, so if you underline this, Aidi, de tana nedarim, de mitzar chafza ale, tani nami charamim, de mitzar chafza ale. Rabosai, we're going to see now, the fundamental distinction between Nedarim and Shavuos is the following. Rabbi said, when you make a neder creates an iser chefza, which means that when you make a neder, you are prohibiting an object. You are creating a prohibited state upon the object. So too, again, when you make a cherim, cherim also creates a prohibited, cherim also creates a prohibition on the object. However, la'afuke shvua, dika amar nafshei min hachefza. Rabbi says shvua, so if, to use the proper terminology, so neder is an iser chefza, shvua is an iser gavra. But say very important. So remember, when you take a neder, so a neder is you are conferring a particular status upon an object versus a shvua, where you are not conferring a status upon the object, but rather what? You are conferring a status ultimately again upon yourself. And I will say, now remember, so this is a very, very important yisod. Iser Chefza versus Iser Gavra. And I will say, now we'll see, by the way, one of the most important nafkaminas in this discussion. What's the chilik between the Iser Chefza and the Iser Gavra? The greatest distinction we're going to see is, can a prohibited statement be chal on an intangible object? So say, let's say, for example, can I take a neder not to sleep? Not to sleep. And the answer is, no, you can take a shvua not to sleep, but you can't take a neder not to sleep. Why? Because a neder is only going to be chal on something that is tangible, right? Or it has to be an iser chavta. There has to be an object upon which the neder can devolve. But on the other hand, again, an iser shvua, because it's on the gavra, could be on anything. So we'll say, so now with the Gemara, say, this is so important. And it's interesting, no? You see, people think that nedarim is not interesting. It's not true. Right, I'm saying like in 25 minutes we've actively dispelled, we've debunked that entire. So we'll say, so this is incredibly important. So remember again, what the Mishnah is saying is like this. So follow this train of thought. So at first hand, we're saying like this. Remember, why does Mara asks why, if we're talking about nidarim, do we have to get into shvua and everything else? To which the Gemara essentially answers, because again, remember, Nedarim and Shavua are written together in the Torah. Therefore, once we're talking about Nedarim, we'll talk about Shavua. If that's the case, then why don't we go from Nedarim to Shavua in the Mishnah? To which the Gemara answers what? To which the Gemara answers, oh, because the Mishnah is following a system. The Mishnah is following a paradigm. The paradigm is, we're going from things that are an Iser Chefza, and then ultimately going afterwards to things that are Iser Gavra. We're starting with things that ultimately, again, where the prohibited state devolves upon an object, then going on to things where the prohibited state devolves upon the individual. So Neder and Cherem, which devolve upon the object, that's what we're starting with first, Iser Chefza, and then we go from Iser Chefza ultimately again to Iser Gavra. Very, 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 this... Say this again, if you're using your own Gemara, really highlight this or somehow make a note by this, because we're going to constantly be referring back to this chilek. So therefore, the Gemara is like this: Pasach b'kinuyin. Remember again. So the Mishnah began by talking about kinuyin, kol kinuyin nedarim umefaresh yados. So we'll say now the Gemara asks another kasha. Remember again, this whole Mishnah is talking about kinuyim, right? That again, if you make a kinuy neder, is like a neder, and a kinuy cherem is like a cherem, and a kinuy. So remember again, what is our kinuy? What's kinuy? Remember nickname. What's kinuy? So nickname, right? Remember, kinuy is when you use a word other than neder to go ahead and create a chalos shein neder, or you use another word besides shvua. These are words that mean neder, words, terminologies, or phrases that mean shvua, but are not the actual word neder. So the Gemara says something doesn't make sense, because the Mishnah is talking about neder and shvua and cherem, and yet again, Rabosai, when it comes time for the Mishnah to go ahead and give examples, the Mishnah gives examples, Rabosa, of cases of yados. Remember, what's the case of yados? What's yados? The handle. It's where you make a partial statement. If you look, you don't have to go back, I'll read it to you. But if you look at the end of the Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah says, Ha'omer lechavero mudrani mimcha. Rabosa, now let's analyze this for just a moment. The lashon of mudrani mimcha. So what is that? Is that a kinui? Yeah. This is 50-50, right? Yes or no? Right? Is it a kinui?
Yes.
Right? All right. Good morning. Let's start Nidarim. Right. No. So Mudrani Mimcha is not a kinui. Why is Mudrani Mimcha not a kinui?
It's a
Why? Because you're using the word mudar. I will say, come on, this is a long journey together. You got to get into this with me. Right? Remember, again, mudrani is a lashon of neder. If you're using a lashon of neder, that's explicit. Kinui means when you use a wording other than neder. But what do we call it? We say mudrani mimcha. Mudrani mimcha is a partial. What does that mean? I am literally, if you translate that in English, I am nedered from you. So what does that mean? That's a yad, Rabbi. So that's yados. It's a partial statement. So the Gemara says, I don't understand what's happening over here. You're beginning the Mishnah with a discussion about kinuyim, right? About nicknames, so to speak, about words that mean neder, but aren't the actual word neder. But yet, when the Mishnah gives examples of a case, you're giving me examples of yados. So what are you doing? To which the Gemara says, Pasach be kinuyim. You begin the Mishnah with the discussion about kinuyim, kol kinuyim nedarim. Umifaresh yados, and you give examples of yados. For example, what was the case? Haomer lechavero mudur ani mimcha. A person says, "I am mudur from you. I am nedert from you." Right? Visu yados inshi. So the Gemara says again, and additional cases. Ultimately, again, Rashi says, "Visu akati lemifrach yados inshi." Hechi shachachamatana delo katani viyados darkinadarim. So say visu yados inshi means. And did the Tana forget about Yados? You know, we'll say, the Mishnah doesn't make sense. I shouldn't say that. The Mishnah appears to be somewhat intriguing. Everything makes sense. It's our limited understanding. So the Gemara is saying over here that Lamaisa, you begin with a discussion about Kinuyim, but yet you don't give any examples about Kinuyim, and then you go into examples about Yados, and yet what? The Mishnah did not even discuss the case of Yados, to which the Gemara says like this, Airi Bahon, the truth is, the Mishnah is missing a little bit of a statement. This is what it means to say. All cases, all kinui nedarim are like nedarim. So we will say, if you use a word other than nedar, if you use a kinui word that works. Furthermore, I will say, yados, partial statements of nedarim, are just as effective as a full-fledged neder as well. I see the Gemara. So that's what the Mishnah means to say. So the Gemara is answering Chisri Mechzera. The Mishnah was actually supposed to include another statement of Yados Nedarim Kinedarim. Fine. The Lifrosh Kinuyin Beresha. So why don't you go ahead, and I understand, why don't you go ahead, so we'll say, so still we have a Kasha. So now you've just answered for me that the Mishnah in fact includes the case of Yados. Fine. So therefore the Mishnah teaches me again, I will say that number one, Kol Kinuyin Nedarim Kinedarim, and yados nedarim kinedarim. Fine, but now so let's follow. How is the Mishnah set up? So there's a statement of every kinui neder is like a neder, every yad, all yados are like nedarim as well. But then, what case does the Mishnah choose to illustrate? The Mishnah chooses to illustrate the case of yados. But I don't understand. Just by following the order, what should have been the first case that the Mishnah would have illustrated? Kinuyim. If kinuyim is mentioned first in the Mishnah, then the first example case that should be given should be a case of kinuyim as well. But yet it speaks of kinui, then yad, and first gives an example of yad before it gives an example ultimately of kinui. To which the Gemara says, very interesting. To which the Gemara says, a stylistic issue. Hahu the salik minei, v'lishor of kinuyim b'nei, hahu the salik minei, hahu mefarish v'nei. So listen to this. So the Gemara suggests that stylistically, whenever a Mishnah mentions multiple items, it mentions A and B, and then it wants to give examples of both A and B, it'll give examples of B before A. In other words, it'll give examples of the thing that was mentioned last in the Mishnah. So for example, if the Mishnah is telling me that kinuyei nedarim are like nedarim, and yados nedarim are like nedarim, what's the first thing the Mishnah illustrates? Yados. Why? Which you can hear this. Why? Because it's the last thing we just discussed. Right? It's the last thing we just discussed. So kind of keep the flow of the conversation going. So the Gemara says, Kiddisnan. And the Gemara gives other examples, lest you think, by the way, that this is the only time where this happens. It happens all the time. Kiddisnan. I will say, and the truth is, Mamish, you're going to recognize most of these just like that because we've been doing this stuff. Kiddisnan. So remember again, we'll say, so this we all recognize, right? Because again, you know that part where people are quiet at the right after Mizmor Shaliyom HaShabbos, right before Baruch Hu. So that's what we're saying something there. So remember again, we say, Remember, on Shabbos, so what types of oils, what can we use for hadlakas neros? What types of oils, what types of wicks can we use for hadlakas neros, and what can't we use? And remember again, and remember, what does the Mishnah Masechah Shabbos begin discussing? A madlikin. So it begins by discussing what? That which we cannot use. So same thing over here, stylistically. We begin by saying, this is what you can use, this is what you can't use, and when illustrating, we begin by discussing what you can't use. So again, all the Gemara is doing is affirming that this is indeed a bona fide stylistic model, where the Mishnah will discuss two items, and when we begin to give examples, we begin to give examples of the second item mentioned. Next, so we'll say, again, remember on Shabbos, there is an Isser of Hatmana. You're not permitted to insulate. Remember, again, we're not going to get into all these halachas specifically right now, but the Mishnah says, what can you insulate with and what can't you insulate with? And again, Mishnah says, in tomnin. We begin with discussion of what you can't insulate with. So we'll say, with what type of adornments is a woman permitted to go out on Shabbos? And with what type of items is she not permitted to go out on Shabbos? And what does the Mishnah begin by saying? Lo seitze isha, woman cannot go out with the following. V'chol heicha. So the Rabbis say, so therefore, and remember, there are other examples, but the point the Gemara does over here is to go ahead and give examples of where the Mishnah says A and B, and the Mishnah, when illustrating, will go ahead and begin by illustrating B. So too in our Mishnah, even though the Mishnah spoke about, again, kinuyim and yados, so the Mishnah chooses to first illustrate yados before kinuyim. So the Gemara says, V'chol heicha de pasach la, V'chol heicha de pasach lo mefarish pereisha. Is that true, though? Is that true that every single time the Mishnah begins with a discussion about A and B, the Mishnah will always illustrate B before A? Is that true? V'hatanam, but we learned, Yesh nochalin u'manchilin, nochalin v'lo manchilin. Rabbi said there are some people who inherit but do not bequeath inheritance, and others who go ahead and inherit but do not bequeath. Ve'ilu nochalin u'manchilin. And yet here what? Here the Mishnah says, these are the people who are nochal, who ultimately inherit but do not bequeath. So here do you see an example of what? Of where it's A and B, but the examples begin with A and not B. Furthermore, yesh mutaras l'balein basurus liyiv mehen. This is the group of women. These are the women who are permitted to their husbands, but are prohibited to the yavam. And there are also women mutaras liyiv mehen basurus l'balein. And there are also women who ultimately, again, are mutar to their yavam, but asr to the baal. And what does the Mishnah say? Ve'elu mutaras l'balein basurus liyiv mehen. So we'll say, here you see another example, where again, these are the women who, are mutter to their husband, asr to the yavam. Then there's a second group of women who are mutter to the yavam, asr to their husband. And yet when the Mishnah gives examples, it starts by illustrating the first category of the women who are mutter to their husband and asr to the yavam. Furthermore, yesh te'unos shemen ulavona, shemen velo lavona. There are some karbanos mincha that require both oil and lavona, right? Lavona is frankincense, and there are other types of karban mincha that require oil and not lavona. And yet again, we're illustrating examples. Elu tu'unos shemen ulavona. And yet when the Mishnah gives the examples, it gives the examples first of the first category of those that require shemen and lavona. Once again, you understand, I'm not getting into these cases because, again, remember, the actual substance of the cases is not really relevant for our conversation. What's irrelevant to our conversation is what? Is the stylistic order of the Mishnah. Yet, furthermore, yesh te'unos hagasha ve'ein te'unos tenufa. There are some types of karbanos, again, this is also by karban mincha, there's some type of karbanos that require hagasha. Hagasha means bringing near to the mizbeach, but do not require tenufa, which means waving. So he says, tenufa v'lo hagasha, other things that require waving, but not being brought near to the mizbeach. Ve'elu te'unos hagasha. And these are the things, ultimately, again, that require being brought near to the Mizbeach. Again, so you see, there's A and B, and yet the Mishnah, when it begins to give examples, gives examples of what? A before B. Yesh b'chor l'nachala, ve'ein b'chor l'koin. So there are certain things where a person is considered to be a b'chor, l'nachala, for inheritance purposes, but yet is not considered to be a b'chor for koin purposes, for, let's say, for redemption purposes. L'koin, excuse me, b'chor l'koin, ve'ein b'chor l'nachala. There are other situations where a person is considered to be a bechor, ultimately, again, let's say for pigyon haben, but not a bechor for inheritance purposes. And yet, when the Mishnah wants to give examples, ve'ezu bechor l'nachala, ve'ein bechor l'kohen, and yet, also, when the Mishnah wants to give examples, it gives examples of the first category first, namely, a bechor for inheritance, but not a bechor for kohen. So the Gemara says, so remember, what at first sounded like a really good answer. In other words, remember, what was the kasha? The kasha was, The gosh was now we know the Mishnah actually means to say that every kinui neder is like a neder, and every yad neder is like a neder. And then the Mishnah goes on to go ahead and give examples of what? Of yados. So he said, not a problem. Why? Because again, the Mishnah said, that's fine. That is a Mishnaic style. What's the Mishnaic style? You begin with a discussion of A, then B, then in order not to disrupt the flow, give examples of B before A. And the Mishnah gives a whole list of examples where the Mishnah follows. The Gemara gives a whole list where the Mishnah follows that style. There's only one problem. Where the Mishnah gives a whole, the Gemara gives a whole bunch of examples of where what? The Mishnah does not follow that style. Where the Mishnah will speak about A and then B, and then when giving examples, we'll go back to A and then give examples of B. So, meaning, what's this guy? Obviously, there's got to be a rhyme or reason for this, to which the Gemara says, I'll tell you what it is. Mishum de of shuluhu, mefari shahu de pasach resha. So, we'll say, to which the Gemara says, you're right. In any situation where there are many different cases, in those situations, mefari shahu de pasach resha. So, we'll say, if there are a lot of cases associated with a particular din, then what the Mishnah will do is, it will follow the original order. So for example, again, if there's a lot of cases, so when the Mishnah says A and B, the Mishnah will then go back to A and go through all of the cases of A. Because again, since there are a great number of cases, the Mishnah is concerned that if we go to a discussion of B and then come back to the numerous cases of A, you'll get a little bit confused. Baha, so the Gemara says, well, is that really true? Is that really true? Says the Gemara, Baha, Baha, in the case of Masechet Shabbos, where the Mishnah wants to discuss about what an animal is permitted to go out, the Bosa, what this is talking about over here, is there are certain things that the animal wears on it. So there are certain things, we remember this from Shabbos. Of course, right? So remember, there's the saddle, the ukkaf, right? Remember, we even spoke about the ribbons on the horns. So there are certain things the animal goes out with, certain things the animals go out with. Now, the truth is, there are not a lot of cases in this particular halacha. And yet what? Vikatoni yotze. And yet, so we'll say, here's an example of where the things with which an animal cannot go out with are actually not so numerous, right? And yet, again, things animals can't go out to the not so numerous either. And yet here, what did the Mishnah do? So here you had A and B, right? Things that an animal can go out with, can't go out with. So we would have thought that, again, if there are a lot of cases, then what happens? Then the Mishnah begins. So if there are a lot of cases, the Mishnah explains A and then B, which tells us that if there's not a lot of cases, the Mishnah keeps the flow and continues with B and then explains A afterwards. Here you have a case where there are not a lot of cases, and yet what does the Mishnah do? Mishnah still goes back to A. The Katani Yotze Gamal tells us a camel could go out with the following. Top of Gimel, Ella Lav Dafka. Rather, Gemara says, you're right. Rather, Lav Dafka. Lav Dafka means they both say that there is not necessarily a specific order. Zimnin Mefareh Shahud De Pasach Bereisha. Zimnin Hahu De Salik Mefareh Bereisha. So we'll say, so the answer the Gemara gives is, you know what? There's not necessarily a system. We'll say, remember, again, different Mishnayos have different authors. Now remember, all of the Mishnayos are compiled by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. But as we know, different Mishnayos were authored by different Tanoim. So what the Gemara now seems to say is that different Tanoim used different literary styles. Some Tanoim literally went ahead and liked this A, B, B model, meaning again, start with A, explain, go to case A, case B, and then explain case A afterwards in order to keep system, right? You're keeping in order A, B, right? And other Tanaim liked a different model, which was what? A, B. Once you're talking about B, continue the flow of B. But it's ultimately, again, lav dafka. So we'll say this is the first answer. V'bayis imba, actually knows, we'll stop over here for today. So we'll say again, remember, just to summarize, because we did a lot today and I want to give you just so we're all on the same page. So why was today important? It's a very open-ended question. Right, so remember again, so what we got today was, number one, definition. So now we understand, ultimately, again, definition of a neder is a person mamish making a statement that has the word neder itself. Kinui is the nickname, which Ran said was like konam. Yad is a partial statement. What we know from the Mishnah now is, again, why, if the topic over here is nedarim, then why are we including everything else? To which the Gemara answered, because once you're talking about nedarim, you got to talk about Shavuos also, because you mentioned the same pasuk. Was talking about Shavuos, let's include everything else as well. If that's the case, again, why do we understand that the Mishnah begins with a discussion of kinuyim, but goes ultimately again to examples of yados, to which the Gemara said chisurim mechsera. It really, Mishnah also means to say that every yad of a neder is like a neder itself. If that's the case, then why the order? Why do we begin with the discussion of kinuyim nedarim, but ultimately again give examples only of yados? To which ultimately the Gemara says what? To which the Gemara says, well, either one possibility is we're following the stylistic model of A, B, B. Therefore, he began speaking about kinuyim, when ultimately to yados, when the Mishnah chooses to give examples, it gives examples of yados. And the Gemara wants to suggest that's a stylistic model that's followed throughout Shas. That when you have A, B, you give the examples of B before A. To which the Gemara says, it's not true, there are other cases as well. So we'll say we emerge with a very important stylistic yisod. And the stylistic yisod is when you have a Mishnah that discusses multiple ideas, so meaning topic A, topic B, sometimes when the Mishnah gives examples, it will go, continue in the examples of B, and sometimes the Mishnah ultimately, again, will go back to A in order to preserve the same Mishnaic symmetry. Is there a rhyme or reason to this? The Gemara seems to say lav dafka, that it really depends on the particular desire of the Tana. The Tana had discretion as to which literary style he wanted to preserve throughout the Mishnah. Just one important announcement. Just a mazel tov to Yanki Statman on the occasion of being honored at the upcoming TA dinner. And thank you for Rabbi Cement, who's videoing part of the shir. Meretz Hashem, that we're going to show Yanki's incredible exploits in Amelus and Torah. And Meretz Hashem, but Yanki, mazel tov, and an incredible yashar koach for undertaking this honor on behalf of the yeshiva. Shkoach. Mazel tov. Let's see what I'm saying. What are you going to say? Oh, I forgot that one. Isser Chafsa versus Esser Gava, right. The most important is so that I tell everybody to...
Why are we bringing up so many examples? Why is the Talmud bringing so many examples?
Say that again.
Why is the Talmud giving so many examples? Give us one or two examples.
Oh no, because by giving us so many examples, what you're showing is that it really is a stylistic reality. By giving one or two, that wouldn't do anything. But by going ahead and giving a whole bunch, so that